My name is Noah Chester. I am 19 years old. Today is November 4th, 2020, and I'm speaking with Daniel Chester, who is my father. We're recording this in Ohio, United States. The first question I would like to ask is, how were you raised as a child, and does it translate into how you raise me now?
I was raised in the 70s, and child rearing was very different than it is today. So I was raised in a household where physical punishment was normal and it was not abusive. Parents did not have a lot of the emotional bonding because my dad was working two, sometimes three jobs, and I had nine siblings. So a lot of times it was working on your own, doing things on your own. You had chores to do every day. But a lot of times you were left to do and be by yourself. And a lot of the manipulation of the rearing of the child was done more in a punishment rather than a reward phase.
Would you want me to raise my children the same way as you raised me?
Probably more so with the vision that your mother has, more so than the way I've been involved. It is more about respecting the child as an individual, letting them be the person that they want to be, giving them the freedom to make mistakes, being there to help them when they make mistakes, not criticize, not punish, but encourage and lead, as opposed to control and manipulate.
Okay. How did you feel when you realized you were having your first child?
There's a lot of emotions that you feel. No matter how much you think you are ready for it and think you want it, there's always that oh crap moment when it actually happens, because you know at that point your life will never be the same. So you're nervous. There's a lot of things that go on in your head. Even if you plan for it, you immediately start thinking, can I afford it? Can I do this? How is this going to affect our lives? We were excited, obviously. We wanted children. We had waited to have children until we thought we were stable. So we were excited about it, but we were also nervous about it.
Okay. Was that experience any different than when you found out you were having my siblings?
It was a little less scary because you being the first one, the experiment, we made a lot of our mistakes with you. So it was a little less scary going into it. But the wonder and awe of going through a pregnancy and having another child, learning a new personality, is always exciting. As your mother has always said, you know, it's not like you are dividing up love and attention. Every child just adds to that. So every child adds to the family experience. They don't take from it. So every pregnancy after yours was just more added to the family.
In raising me, do you feel like you may have done things wrong at the start?
Oh, of course. I mean, being a first child, no matter how many books you read, you always make mistakes. You always listen. You have 10 different people telling you 10 different things. And the problem is none of them may be right because the child is an individual and the child has individual needs. You obviously have your issues with being dairy protein intolerant, which we had to find out about, which meant that, you know, you were miserable for a while and we were trying to deal with that. Everybody kept saying, oh, it's colic, it'll go away, and it wasn't. So again, you know, making mistakes, we should have just gone to the doctor and talked to them and got it figured out sooner rather than later. You know, you buy every gadget that they tell you to buy because you want to be ready for the baby, and you only use 5% of them because when it comes down to it, all you really need is diapers and wipes and food. Other than that, everything else just gets in the way. You know, you buy diaper genies because they're cool and everybody gets you one. And I think we got three at the baby shower and had to return two of them. And we used it for like a month and we're like, this is the worst thing in the world. We're never going to use it again. You know, learning how to raise a child, no matter what advice you're given, that's your child and it's your personality, their personality, trying to figure out what works. And you make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. And sometimes we made the same mistakes with the siblings, and sometimes we made completely new ones. So it really, anybody who says that they had perfect parents or had a perfect childhood is lying, because nobody's perfect.
That leads into my next one. If so, how would you have changed them?
There's so many things that we learned going through all the children that if you took all the learning experiences and went back to the first one, it's being more aware of the child, being more attuned to their needs, not trying to assume what's going on, being less expectant of the child to be responsive and being more patient with the child to be learning. Your mother is famous for telling me the children are not robots. They're not there to do what you tell them to. And a lot of times you get that mentality. And that was one of the things that we grew up with. When your parents told you to do something, you did it. You didn't question it. You just did it. Now with the individual child having a, you know, deserving the respect of an individual, when you tell them to do something and they don't do it, you want to find out why they don't want to do it. Are they just being stubborn? Or is there a reason? And is it a valid reason? And is it valid in their head, but it may not be in your head? And it's learning a lot of those things, learning how to converse with the child and learn how to deal with the child that you learn through the first child, the second child, and so on. That, yeah, if you knew what, if I knew what I knew now, going back to when we had you, there'd be a lot of things that we would do different.
As a parent, is there any advice you would like to give to me for the future?
That runs into that thing where, you know, all the advice that everybody gives you, most of it is not going to be relevant because it's you and your child. So what I would say is, did that stop?
No.
Okay. Just making sure. Listen to what your gut tells you. Listen to your spouse, assuming that one or the two of you or both of you have good instincts. Listen to the child, even as an infant. When a baby cries, they're telling you something. You know, a lot of people, they're like, oh, my baby's fussy, my baby's grumpy, my baby's crying, they need to go to bed. Well, what we learned is, at that point, the baby's overtired. You missed the signs before that. I'm sure your mother would give you a lot of very good advice about just the mechanics of raising a child, you know, learning the tells. You know, if they're rubbing their eyes, they're at the point now that they're almost too tired. You know, you have to learn the cues before that. It's not so much advice on how to raise the baby. It's advice on how to interact with the baby, how to understand what your baby's doing. Those are the kinds of things that, you know, we would pass along to you, would be more of the mechanics of learning your child as opposed to trying to impose upon you any sort of advice on how to raise the child. Because ultimately, in the end, how you raise your child is between you and your spouse. You know, everybody has to decide. You know, everything from, you know, what kind of schools are we going to put them in? What kind of faith are we going to raise them in? How are we going to treat them financially? Are they going to have weekly allowances or are they not going to have allowances? How are you going to deal with gift giving and holidays and tooth fairy and Santa Claus and all sorts of other things? Those are all your choices, and nobody's really going to be able to give you advice that's right or wrong on that. It's something that just you have to decide on your own.
Now, switching over to a different subject, how was I to deal with as a child?
Easy. You were very patient, very quiet. A lot of it just, you would play by yourself, entertain yourself. When you needed stuff, you would ask us for it. You weren't, once we got past the whole dietary issue and, calmed your intestines down so that you weren't feeling miserable all the time, you were a very easy baby. You learned quickly. Sometimes we had to learn ahead of you. When you were in the very early years, 2, 3, 4, you were naming off dinosaurs that we had no idea what you were talking about, using their Latin names. We had to go look things up because you were learning things beyond us. You would understand streets where your mother could not figure out how you understood streets and where we were going. Being able to name every vehicle, whether it be car, truck, machinery, or whatever, just trying to keep up with you was an experience.
Were my siblings the same way?
No, everybody's different. Some of your siblings were, well, even the twins were almost complete opposites. Bella was very easygoing and would sit and have conversations and cooing at your mother for, long periods of time, and Emma just basically wanted to do her own thing or just screamed. Every child is different and has their own personality, so you have to learn their individuals. Elizabeth used to climb over everything. We'd set up 4-foot walls and she would still climb over them. And, even before she was, fully walking. So, we had to deal with the acrobat. We had to deal with the grumpy monster. We had to deal with the type A personality getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning baby. Everybody's different. So, and that's a big, going back to the first question, when we were raised, pretty much every child was raised the same. The parents had a set way of, this is how I'm raising my child. Whereas our experience with you guys was we tried to individualize it. We let each of you be yourselves, and we tried to guide you into being the better person that we thought that you could be.
What was the hardest part of raising me?
I think the hardest part was probably trying to get you to understand and get past what you perceived as your own limitations, as you well know with math classes early on. You having this, this personality of a perfectionist where either I have to do it perfectly or I can't do it or I won't do it at all, was very difficult to get you through things like math, because you had to learn and make mistakes and learn and relearn to get through it. And your mentality was either I can do it or I can't do it. There was no gray space. So that was trying to deal with that coming from my perspective, where everything is logical and it's okay, I do it. And if I don't do it right, I do it again. And it's not a big deal. If you fail, no big deal. I was having a hard time getting my mindset into your mindset to understand where you were coming from in order to try to help you get past that.
And with all of that said, are you proud of me?
Always, in everything that you do. It's the job of the parent. Even when you make mistakes, mistakes are learning. And you've always, even when you've made mistakes, I've always taken that as a learning opportunity, whether it be in relationships or schoolwork or sports or whatever it was. For you, mistakes were always learning. You always, even when you don't do your best, you are still putting in honest effort. It's never just, doing what needs to be done. So we've always been proud of you, even when things don't turn out for the best.
And that is it.